Well, I certainly desire your prayers again tonight. I want to say I appreciate the tone of the service, the songs, the love, the tone of the prayers. When I hear that love, it reminds me of God. You know, that's what God is. And I appreciate that when I see that among the people of God, because I believe that more than anything else, that's what should prevail, is His love. It should reach out to all of those around about us. And I believe the Lord wants to express His love in all that He does, in His judgment, in His correction, in His instructions, all of it. It's by love. You know, the Lord understands us. The Lord cares for us. We talked a little bit this morning about how that the Lord understands the things that we face. And He understands the pressures of life. He understands the pressures of homes, jobs. He understands the stress, the fears and anxieties that we have. The Lord understands all of that. And there's a song, I believe maybe it's 176. There's a verse in there, the title of the song says, Jesus Knows. And I believe it starts out, maybe someone want to read that. It says something about, in your pathway, have you found some cruel, you know, read that. Thank the Lord. You know, the Lord knows all about us. And the things that you and I face, He understands that. But I want us to know also tonight that the Lord understands our failures. He knows about those and He understands about them. And I would like tonight to talk about a subject that no one wants to do. But yet I find that many do it. The Lord's not happy about that, but I find that many do it, and that's denying the Lord. That's a serious thing. But I want us to know that the Lord understands that, and I want you to understand what I mean here. The Lord doesn't make excuses for our denying Him or our failures. But if you find yourself in a place to where that you have denied the Lord, I want you to know God understands. Because He knows why you did that. And He wants to help you with it. The Lord has power to help you and I to overcome our failures. And He wants to be able to help us to have the power in our lives that we can overcome all the powers of Satan. That's the Lord tonight that we serve. I'd like to use as a text, if you'll turn with me, Mark the 14th chapter. Very familiar scripture here. This was a place where that Jesus was talking to His disciples. And I find that when the Lord talked to His disciples, it's the same as He talked to us, with love. He was concerned. He knew the things that they would face, and He was talking to them. And He said here in Mark, the 14th chapter, and I'll start in about the 26th verse. And it said, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. I'd like to ask this a question. Would you deny the Lord? I would say that probably most of us, if not all, would say no. And probably many of us would do like Peter. Not only no, but we would have a fervency about that. Well, there's no way. I wouldn't do it. Peter said here, though all should be offended, yet not I. Like Peter, I believe that many are sincere in that. I believe that many have a real sincerity that there's no way that I would deny the Lord. But yet, you know, I find that many people deny Him. Many people are denying Him even though they're sincere. Peter here was sincere in saying that I will not be offended. I believe he meant it. When you look at the life that Peter lived there and the example that he had just after that, Peter was one of the first ones to draw his sword. He cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Peter was ready to fight. When he seen these people coming against his Lord, Peter had a fervency about him that this is not going to happen. I'm going to take it. I'm going to defend him. And you know, I believe that had Christ taken a carnal stand at that point and said to his disciples, "Men, you know how I've lived before you, and these men have come out against me, and you know all about this, and we're going to have to fight now. I'm going to need your help." I'm persuaded that every one of these disciples would have given their life for the Lord. These men were not cowards. They weren't afraid. When you begin to look here and you begin to see how the disciples all fled, it gives you pictures of deserters, cowards, that these men just deserted their Lord. But I want us to know that this fear came not from a cowardice, or it came not because of a fear of that, but there was a fear there because they didn't know how to fight this battle. When you begin to look at this, there's a scripture here in Matthew, the 26th chapter, I believe it is, in the 52nd verse. I find here that it says that when Jesus, and this was after Peter had struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear, it says here in 26 and 52, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that will take the sword shall perish with the sword." Now, I want us to notice here, Peter was ready to fight for his Lord. There was not a cowardice there, but the Lord reproved him because of what he was doing. And have you ever been in a situation where that you've taken a stand for truth and right, and maybe you were holding a principle that was a solid principle of truth, and because of that somebody come against you in such a carnal way, and they begin to cast your name out as evil, and they begin to say all manner of things and just openly rebuke you, and all because of standing for something that is right? And then, have you had someone else stand up in your defense in a carnal way? And they begin to, "Well, now, I know this brother, and you're not going to talk to him." And they begin to just lash out at those people. And then you say, "Oh, brother, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're not going to do that. We won't fight it that way." Have you ever had to reprove them for something like that? You know, that's a close place. Now, not only do you have the people that were against you, but those that were trying to defend you are offended at you. When you say, "Brother, no, I'm sorry." You apologize to the one that they done it to. "I'm sorry that he acted that way." And now they're like, "Here I was trying to help you, and here I was trying to take your side, and now look at you." Have you ever had to do that? I want you to know, if you're living close to the Lord, you'll have to do it, because you not only can't take a carnal stand for yourself, but you can't allow others to do it. Now, I know there have been some, and I've seen it at times, that they wouldn't stand up and just rail out against somebody that was coming against them, but they say, "Let me tell so-and-so," and they'll get them. You know, that's just as wrong. Lord, help us this evening. This was the place that Jesus was in. And Jesus was coming there, and he was trying to show his disciples that you can't fight a carnal battle. You can't come against these men in this way. He said, "I want you to recognize the power of God. And I want you to recognize that we're not fighting in the way that you think." Now the disciples were bewildered. "I don't know how to fight. He's just giving himself up, and here I cut his ear off, and he healed it, and he put it back on. I don't know how to fight this kind of battle." And so when they began to take them over, the disciples had to leave. They just didn't have that kind of power. This was the place the disciples were in also. Here we find in this place here where the Lord was speaking to them, and it says on down here in the 53rd verse, Jesus, after he had said this, he said, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Jesus knew well where his defense was and where his power came from. Jesus was well acquainted that my Father has power in heaven and I don't need all of this, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled, let it be so. Oh, this was a different battle than what the disciples had in mind. And Jesus here, when he began to look at this, over here in the 27th chapter and the 12th verse, it says, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing." Oh, I want you to know that it afforded him the power to stand before his accusers. And it gave him the power to keep still in the midst of accusations. Oh, we need that tonight. We need that kind of power where that in the very midst of these things, when they come against us and they begin to accuse us, that we can know where our defense is, that we can know where our power cometh from, and that when all the hosts of hell seems to rise up against us, we can stand calmly with our faith in God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Jesus here, it says, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" Can't you see all of the accusations that are being flung out against you? This and this and this. Don't you have anything to say in your defense? And Jesus, it said, answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Oh, I want you to know tonight that when you and I have the power of God, when the Lord is working and He gives us that power to stand in the midst of those trials, those people will marvel. There are people that will look on amazed. I don't understand this. Do you know that's the way that we overcome our battles? It's not through carnal methods. And Jesus was trying to show them that here. There's a scripture over here in Hebrews. If you'll turn with me, Hebrews, I believe it's in the 4th chapter. Very familiar scripture. It says here in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." It says here it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, the Lord knows the thoughts and intents of your heart and mine. He understands the things that you and I face, and He understands the things that we desire, and I believe that the Lord knows our purposes. There's a lot of people who have no thought of ever denying the Lord. I believe if you walked up and down these aisles and began to ask people, there'd be everybody, no doubt, would say, "I would never deny the Lord." And there's a lot of people that have good intentions. He said He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. There are lots of people that have good intentions of serving the Lord. And I believe Peter was one of those. Peter never had a thought of denying the Lord, but he had every intention of dying with Him if necessary. And he proved that by the way that he took. But you know, I want you to know that when we have those kind of thoughts and intentions, that's not enough within himself. We find yet here that Peter was denying the Lord. Not once, but 3 times. Now, think about this. Peter said, "Though all men, if everybody in this house, Lord, denies you, yet not will I. I won't do it." And yet we find that he denied him not once, but 3 times. And it wasn't a
half-hearted denial. Thou art one of these men. What men? Who are you talking about? You're one of his disciples. Well, I think I met him once. No, you're one of his. Well, I've only known him about 3 years. You know, a lot of times people won't just flat out deny someone, but they're, I think I know them. I know the saints. I've been there. I've been to service there once in a while. Lord, help us. Peter didn't just halfway deny him, but he flatly denied any knowledge of him. I know not the man, he said. He was so emphatic that he got to the point that he was even willing to curse him. What happened to Peter? How did this come about? When Peter was so strong in his desire and his intentions and his purpose, and yet something happened that caused Peter to deny the Lord. You know, when Peter realized that, it said he wept. The scripture says he wept bitterly. He felt terrible. You know, I believe that there are a lot of people, no doubt, weeping. Maybe not externally, but internally. Down deep in their hearts, they've got in a place to where that maybe they didn't intend to deny the Lord, but something happened. Something came along that was more powerful than them. Something that just knocked them over. And they found themselves in a situation to where they denied the Lord. And they're weeping internally. They're weeping. They may not say anything externally, but down deep they know they've offended the Lord. They know they've denied Him, and they're weeping. They're calling. They feel, oh Lord, I'm sorry I've done that. Well, there's a scripture I'd like for us to look at. I think it's here in Zechariah, the 4th chapter. Zechariah, the 4th chapter in the 6th verse. And it says here, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Folks, we need the Spirit of the Lord. We need God to help us and to keep us. The scripture there in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I want to look just a little bit tonight at why a person would deny the Lord. What is it that would cause a person who is with every intention, they really never intended to deny the Lord, but what is it that would so possess them that it would cause them to deny Him? You know, one of those things is fear. Fear is a very powerful force. When a person is overcome by fear, it will cause them to do things that they wouldn't normally do at all. Now, you'd say, you would never catch me out in public up on a table. You wouldn't see me in a restaurant standing up on a table hollering. But I tell you, when someone is deathly scared of mice, and that mice comes across, the many times you'll find them up there screaming on the table. And it's happened many, many times. Fear. Now you say, oh, I'd be so embarrassed. At that time, everything else goes away. There's nothing matters, but that thing is there, and I've got to get away. Fear is very powerful. You know, a person that is afraid of snakes many times will hurt themselves very much because of their fear of that snake. Now, that snake could be a garter snake and it couldn't do anything to them, but it's a snake. And when they see that, the fear of that thing, some people are so frightened of snakes that they'll bolt and run. They'll do things that they wouldn't normally do. You know, I remember as a boy, they were telling of a undertaker, and they tell a lot of things about them. But they said that this man had somebody helping him, and one night he was there and he slipped in there and he got in one of the caskets and he was laying there, and this young boy walked by and he dressed up and he raised up all of a sudden, and that boy bolted and went right through a plate glass door. Fear. fear has a way of just causing them. Now you say, I'd never run through a door. No, you wouldn't. But fear has a way of possessing us, and it will cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. Why? Because there's a power there. Do you know fear of man will cause you to deny the Lord? Fear of man will cause a person to deny the Lord, and that's what happened to Peter. Peter got in a place to where that his fear, what's going to happen here? I don't understand all about this. And that fear caused him to follow afar off. It caused Peter to get to a place to where that he just didn't know what to do. You know, there's a scripture that says, perfect love casteth out fear. We need power over fear. Fear of man. I'm not talking about fear of snakes and those kind of things. But I'm talking about the kind of fear that will cause you and I to deny the Lord. And we need perfect love in our hearts. I believe the first commandment said in one place, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and with all thy strength. We need a love for God that surpasses everything else. Our opinions of what men think, you know, there's power in perfect love. There's a power that God desires for each of us to have tonight. And that power will give us such a boldness that despite what people say, we can hold true. There's a scripture here in Romans, very familiar scripture. It says in Romans the 8th chapter, and starting in the 35th verse, Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, this is a place that you and I need to be. This is the kind of love that we need working in our hearts. This is the love of God that gets down there that is so powerful that nothing can separate us from Him. When we have that, you won't find yourself denying the Lord. When you get out on the job or you get out in the public, you'll find that love for God is stronger than what those around you might think. When you get in school, when you get in a place where that there's things going on that it's just a lot of pressure, the Lord knows all about that. And He died to give us a perfect love that'll give us power over that. That'll help us to be true to Him. This scripture says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? I want to ask you tonight, what can separate us from the love of Christ? What is it that can separate you and I from the love of Christ? Well, let me ask you this. What means more to us than our love for God? That thing will separate us from the love of God. That is the thing that we'll find that the enemy will begin to work in. The scripture here in Matthew 6th chapter. Matthew the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. Again, a very familiar scripture. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What Jesus wanted them to realize was that anything that came between us and God, that came before God, that we put before in our lives before God, would come between us and God. Those things that we find that in our lives that come up and, well, Lord, I want to please you, but that's the thing that will come between us and God. Peter walked afar off because of his fear of man. And that kept him from getting close to God. Had he been right there in his bosom, do you think he would have denied him? I have a hard time believing he would have. If Jesus was standing there and he was tied or whatever, maybe just standing there and Peter was right there by his side, I'm right here with you all the way, I don't think he would have denied him. But his fear of man caused him to walk afar off. And then the temptation to begin to deny the Lord got greater the farther he got. Until it was easy now. Well, I don't know the man. You know, the way that you and I begin to walk afar off is when we begin, the Lord begins to deal with our hearts. And he comes by and he calls after us. And he begins to speak to us about something. And we allow something else to keep us from drawing close to the Lord. Now, that something else could be anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a companion. It could be a child. It could be our job. It could be something else. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But whatever we allow to cause us to keep from drawing close to the Lord, that thing will come between us and God. You know, when we allow that, we allow something else to come become first. He said here in the Word, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Something that comes between us and God becomes first. And when that becomes first in our lives, that thing is something that will cause us to be separated from the love of God. And when we allow that thing there, we put it in a dangerous place. I hope you get what I mean tonight. Whatever it is that we allow to come first between us and God, or become first in our life before God, we put that thing in a very dangerous place. Because, you know why? The devil knows that's the thing that will cause you to deny the Lord. Anything that comes between us, that's the thing that will cause us to deny the Lord. And you know, I really feel like, with all my heart, that this is why the devil attacks marriages and the devil attacks families, is because he sees something. The Lord comes along and he begins to work in our lives and he begins to show us places to grow, to measure up or to do this. And, oh Lord, but that's, don't touch that. And the enemy sees that and he says, that's what I'm looking for. That's the place that I'm looking for. Because if they allow that there, now I'm going to attack that with every force of power that I have. If it's our companion, I want you to know, if the Lord, and this is where it's such a personal walk with the Lord, if the Lord comes by and he deals with me about something, and yet maybe my companion isn't just full agreement with that, and I, Lord, you see this, and I begin to hedge off of that. You know, that's where the enemy will begin to attack that. And I put my companion at jeopardy. Because now the devil is going to fight that with everything that he can. You see what a dangerous place that we put him in? Whatever comes between us and the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants us to be able to understand that he loves us. He cares for us. There's things that God has for us. There's a scripture here. Luke, the 22nd chapter. This is in the 60th verse of the 22nd chapter of Luke. This was, again, where Peter was coming before the people there. They had been asking him if he was one of them. Peter denied him. He said in the 60th verse, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked unto Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I see here a place where Peter, as he was coming here and he began to deny the Lord, it says, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Do you know the Lord sent Peter a wake-up call? I thought about that. The Lord didn't have to send have that cock crow. He could have allowed Peter to deny him and go on and never think anything about it. But when he denied him that last time, that cock crew, and immediately it came back to his mind, and it said, and Jesus looked upon him. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And he thought, oh, what have I done? I realize that what he said was true. Now I've denied the Lord. The Lord was faithful to Peter. He understood. He looked at him and he seen that, Peter, I know where you're at. I wonder when the Lord has sent us a wake-up call. I wonder if the Lord has dealt with us about something and He's shown us this is the way it is, and yet we've gone over that, and then time after time we've done it, and then the Lord sent something as a wake-up call. Maybe it was a message. Maybe it was something else that came along, but the Lord in His faithfulness sent something to say, I've warned you. I told you this would happen. I told you if you failed to pray like you should, and you failed to read, and you failed to spend the time alone with the Lord, and you begin to miss services here and there, I told you this would happen. And then you get out there on the job, and something happens, and maybe you just let go. And the Lord allowed something to happen to show you, I warned you of that. He sent a wake-up call. Do you know, I looked at this. Peter, when the Lord was talking to him, Jesus loved the disciples, and he understood that they didn't have the power to be able to resist. And when he began to tell them, he said, and when I've risen, after he had already told them, you'll deny me, every one of you will deny me, then he went on and he said, and after I've risen, I'll meet you in Galilee. Oh, you know, I got a hold of something there. The Lord understood that the disciples didn't have that kind of power. And he wanted them to know, I know your shortcomings, and I've arranged a place to meet you. You know, the Lord has arranged a place to meet you and I. The Lord wants to meet us, and he wants to help us with those things. I believe that God is calling after every one of us. And when there's any place in our life, it doesn't matter whether it's something that you've done that maybe you didn't just go out into sin and just totally deny the Lord, but maybe there's just been a fear of man, or maybe there's been something that's kept you from going all the way with the Lord like He wants you to. You know, the Lord has arranged a place to meet us. He said, I'll meet you there in Galilee. Oh, I see the love of God, because He looked ahead and He said, don't be concerned. When you see this, I want you to know I want to meet you there. And I've got something for you. I've got power. When I arise, I've got power that I can give you that will help you to overcome, that you need not be defeated by the works of the enemy, that you need not be overcome by temptation, by the things that come against you to where that would cause you to deny me. He said, I'll meet you there. You know, I believe the Lord desires to meet every one of us. We talked this morning where the Lord said to Adam, where art thou? You know, I believe the Lord is looking to us tonight and He's saying, where art thou? Do you have the power in your life to stand strong for the Lord? Is there things that have happened in your life that you feel like that, Lord, I just haven't been as faithful as I should? When I get out in the pressures of life, there's just something wrong. The Lord's saying, I've got a place to meet you. And I've got power to enable you to stand firm. My love can be perfected in your heart to the place that service to me means more than anything else in life. And that's the place He wants to bring us to. Thank the Lord.